You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Scripture reading today is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, we're into the fifth week, and man, this semester is really going by fast. And I've got these four classes I'm teaching, and I have office hours. It's always fun to see the students come in to talk to you about their difficulties with the course and other things. And it's also very instructive because they will often let you know about how things are going in other respects in their life. So it's always a privilege, I think, to be able to communicate with people and listen, and also give some guidance to people as you can. Out there in Nuala, where we are, we're enjoying the weather with lots of coolness at the moment, and now a little bit of heat as well. So it's been a little bit on and off with that. Yesterday I got out and decided to cut the lawn about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that was a mistake. I just about melted away, but nonetheless got a lot of it cut. I had to get into it. I was getting really frustrated because every time I went to do the lawns, it would rain or something. And of course, the more you keep away from the lawns, really started getting, there's parts of it really high. And we are farming stickers out there. See, that's what we grow. So you let it grow high, just a mass of stickers. And they are the devil's instrument, I tell you. They really are, man. They are unbelievable things. And you just need to brush them with your skin, and they go deep. I mean, you don't even have to press into them. It's not like you have to sort of stand on them hard or brush them hard. Or No, just slightly touch them, and in they go. Wow. And they've got these little hooks on the end of them, so what do? You grab them with the other hand, and they go into that hand. You pull it out, and you go, yes, sand burrs, or they call them stickers out in Newell. I know that. Anyway, so enough of that. We're into the book of Ephesians, and I don't expect you to be able to read that, because, and I'm going to break those down. But that's a concordance of various words which are composed of the word house. So house in Greek looks like that, oikos, a house. And when you think about a house, how important it is. We are familiar with the words, the house of Israel, the house of Israel. And then you think about that, the house of Israel. Israel is a person, the house of Israel. And God's interested in families, because in a house goes a family. And in fact, we read that passage in Ephesians, where it talks about, in Ephesians 3, it talks about every family in heaven and in earth. Families will be respected and understood in their context with a house. And then when you look at that, you think about, well, wait a minute, is there a patria? Yes, a patria is a family, and a pater is a father, and so there is the father that goes into the house. There is a headship. There's a headship within the house. Then if you look at this, if you look at this idea of the house, it permeates the Bible, but it really permeates the book of Ephesians. So if you look at the God head, interesting, don't you think? The God head, you have the Father. You have the Son and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one, a passage which is attacked in by modern Bibles. And the modern Bibles want to say that that scripture is not really in there. It's just something that was invented by the ecclesiastical body and was put in there. But you know, it's interesting, if you go back into the ancient times and look at where the so-called fathers would quote this passage, yeah, they would quote this passage. Well, they quoted it from somewhere. Obviously, they believed it was part of the scriptures. So anyway, in here, you have this, as we call it, the holy triunity, the triune God, we call it. Now, if you go to Ephesians chapter 1, you definitely have the Trinity portrayed. There's no doubt about it. But it's portrayed in a functional relationship. It's not portrayed at all in a context of one is better than the other. Within the Godhead, there is a functional relationship. The most important part of the Godhead is this functional thing, where the Father produces this will, his plan. And then the Holy Spirit, what it does is teach and brings back to remembrance the plan, and the Son carries it out, works it through, performs it, and so that God takes on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. But nonetheless, that does not take away the fact that there is a head to this. Then you go, for example, to the temple, and the temple is broken, and in the sense that there is a demarcation, there is what's called the Naos, the Holy of Holies. The whole thing, the temple itself, is called a Hieron. But the holiest of all is the Naos. There is a house of God, a house of God. And in ancient days, the tabernacle, the place where God actually put his presence, the presence was actually visible, and it was known as the presence of God, or the Shekinah. And some people talk about this as the Shekinah glory, the way in which this light emanated when God came down and made his presence known over the holiest of holies in the tabernacle. It was a visible thing. People could see it. And at times, God would speak out of this presence. And there is, of course, Hebrews talks about this, and the book of Leviticus talks about this, that the high priest once a year would go in to the holiest of all, not without blood, into this very holy place. There are traditions that are kept about this whole process, not in the Bible, but a tradition that's kept, and that is that they would tie a rope around the high priest's ankle, because if he fell down dead because there was impurity in him, they could pull him out without going in there. That's a tradition. So that's kind of an interesting thing, that there is this presence, and you can see this idea of a hierarchy. A hierarchy is there. There's a hierarchy within the building. When we talk about a house in general, there is a hierarchy within the house. Not only is there a hierarchy, there is in general some sort of rule. There's got to be a rule. The house has got to be ruled, right? A structure, a governmental structure is put in place for how the house is to be run. That is, there is an economy. Oikonomia, oikos, how the house is ruled, an economy. And so these words come up and up over again in the book of Ephesians. These ideas are here. And we learn a lot about God's purposes by looking at the house, this doctrine of the house. So what I did was I looked through this, and, you know, this Bible software that I'm using is just absolutely fantastic for what I can get from it. With a little bit of Greek understanding, you can go a long, long way and find things that would be very hard to find otherwise. So if you look at the first occurrence of this in Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation, oh, look at this word. Let me first of all say that the word dispensation is a dirty word amongst Christians today. Don't want to talk about dispensational teaching today. It's a nasty word, man. Don't touch that word. That's a bad one. That's a bad word. Got bad stuff associated with it. So if you are dispensational, you're a naughty person. And you need to get out of that. And you need to learn something about other means of interpretation. Preterism is more acceptable even. Or some sort of covenant theology. Or something like that. But never dispensational. No. Notice, it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, the pleroma, here it is here, of times, he might gather together in one. Now, the first thing is, notice that this dispensation is oikonomion, which comes from the word oikos and nomos. The rule of the house. The house is here, my friends. We who are dispensational, we believe in the rule of the household. And we want to be a part of what God is doing. We want to be in His family, and as such, we want to be in His house. And that rule should permeate our own real houses. It should be exemplified in our own house. So here we have the dispensation. Now he's talking about something that's going to happen in the future, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. The fullness of times. In other words, there is the times are looked upon as having aspects to them which require a fix. There's some sort of fix that needs to be in for these times. There's some sort of emptiness in these times that need to be filled. A problem which needs to be remedied, which is looked upon in the scriptures as being some sort of filling. Oh man, now we're off now. Filling. I don't want to open my mouth because there's not much there anymore. I've had so many bad fillings that eventually it means the tooth is now kind of done. You know what I'm saying? After a while, you can't keep filling teeth. So, and every time I go to the dentist, it's, okay, Wayne, well, we can't save this one, I'm afraid. Crack! It's out. Oh, the resurrection. Oh, man, is it a good thing? Huh? You know? Do you remember in Shakespeare's stuff, there's a scene there. Oh, poor Yorick, and he's holding a skull. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, I wonder how many teeth are missing on that skull. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one. Now, isn't it interesting that the house in this first occurrence is put in the context of a rule, household rule, and then there is a gathering together in one, and if you look at this word, anakephalaiosasthai, it's an infinitive, but here is kephala. That's a head. Kephala. That's the head that he would head up. Oh, can you see that really the whole doctrine of how God's moving through the ages is through this purpose and a movement towards making this headship apparent. Now, here's one big truth that I've discovered, it comes out really clearly in the book of Ephesians, is that in Ephesians, the doctrine of the headship is absolutely clarified, so that the body of which we are a part is made to be separate from the head, in the sense that Christ is the head and we are the body. And we therefore look to Christ as our corporate head. And it's clear. It's not clear like that. It's not made clear with the body that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 11 and 12. That's not at all like that. The metaphor of the body there is some sort of fusion of parts, where the head is also part of this body. Not so in the book of Ephesians. So that's really cool. I can see these things in. It must have rules. And so we now look at the scriptures and we ask this question. What are the rules for the household today? Where do we go to get those rules? And of course, the place we've got to go is to Paul the prisoner. That's where we've got to go. Now, the next occurrence. The next occurrence is here. This is in Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. Twice in here. And you can see it here with the foreigners, par oikoi. Oikoi, par oikoi. Oh, okay. Alongside the house. You see? No more strangers and foreigners. So a foreigner is beside the house. Now, you say, well, does this mean beside the household of Israel? Is that what he's talking about? Well, it's very interesting that this word foreigner, or beside the house, is actually used by Peter of the group that he was ministering to, which was Israel. And look what he says here. This is what Peter says. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Here it is. Same word. So even those who were of the household of Israel are also strangers. Okay, they can be strangers also. So the word is far more generic than that. But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, the household of God. Now therefore, you're no more outside there. Now you've been brought in. Great thing. We've now been brought into the household of God. Not into the household of Israel, but the household of God. That's where we've come into. And that's really cool. We who were strangers, brought in. Here's the next occurrence. This is Ephesians 2:20. It says, and are built upon. Built. You can see here the word is in there. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The cornerstone is the thing that binds and keeps the structure solid. Okay, and are built. So this is now a building. So the thing about this is that the house is built. It did not evolve, it was built. It was built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, one of the things that I think needs to be brought out here is this idea that here in Acts 28, you're told there that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles and that they will hear it. And the salvation which was formerly sent to the Jews is now sent to the Gentiles. They will hear it. And he dwelt 2 whole years in his own private house, preaching the kingdom of God and he receiving all that came in unto him. Right? And at the end here, there is this period. And so it goes on. Right? So it goes on. And during this time, we don't know exactly when, but during this time, which I have called Acts 29, there was a movement of Paul out of jail, where he would go to various places, like, for example, probably, not certainly, Spain, and other places around the Mediterranean. He would go and preach and teach. And then during this time, the mystery would have been given. And during this time, there were apostles and prophets. They were there. If you look across to this passage, which we read just recently, 2 Timothy and chapter number 4, verse 11. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11. It says this, "Only Luke is with me." Interesting that Luke was with him right here to the very end, it would seem. Because 2 Timothy, this is where we find out about his soon departure. It says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Bring him with thee. And it says, verse 12, "And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus." See the work of Paul in jail. Very productive. Talking to Seppi about how great it is that various people are productive in their lives, you know, and that they seem to be able to get so much done. I'm envious of some people who are able to get so much done in their lives. And I try to get something done and I end up not even getting half of what I want done, you know. And it says this, verse 13, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee the cloak that I left at Troas." Now, was this something that was done prior to Acts 28? Or is this something that was done in Acts 29? In other words, in Acts 29, as I call it, the cloak that I left at Troas, that was done then, right? Here is a possibility for a movement that he, in his freedom after his Roman imprisonment, where he was released, he went to Troas, right? And it says, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." Cool. Verse 14, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works." So this guy gets his name in here for the evil that he did to Paul. You know, a lot of people try to do evil to Paul today, big time, in terms of his doctrine. Verse 15, "Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." Man, there are so many people that withstand the ministry of Paul, big time. And yet, that ministry is what brings out the headship of Christ and what God is achieving in this age so clearly. And that is what's attacked. And he goes on and he says this, "At my first answer, no man stood with me." Stop. Now there's two possibilities for what he's talking about. Okay, where it is here in 2 Timothy, it could be this, right? That he's talking about now where he has been arrested. This is his final arrest, where he's been taken before Nero. And he might be dividing this thing, this arrest and this imprisonment, into two phases, you know, one and two. And he talks about my first answer. You know, so in other words, this could be talking about a phase or two phases of the same court case, where he's brought before Nero. Or it could be this. Right? It could be this. That's what he's talking about. Where it says this, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." So that deliverance could refer to this here, right? That he was delivered here and freed. That was at the first answer, right? Okay, that's possible that means that. And it says this in verse 18, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. And he's talking about deliverance. I don't think that it means that he won't have an evil work put on him. He just will be delivered from it. And that deliverance would come ultimately through the resurrection, through a resurrection. You know, I was listening to something recently where a person was talking about the three big questions of life. Is there a God? Boy, has that been attacked. A lot of people come up with the conclusion, no, there's no God. Is there a God? Well, we got that answered. Yeah, there is a God. We've got plenty of evidence that there is a God. Even physics of today really settles that. If you just believe the understanding of physics today says this, that if you trace back time, if you go back in time, you'll get to a place where time was generated, where it was made, where space and time came into existence out of nothing. Now, as far as we know, outside a mind, only nothing can come out of nothing. That is common sense, and it is what we perceive to be true today. Nothing comes out of nothing. The only way you can get time and space and matter coming out of nothing is in the presence of mind. Some sort of supernatural, metaphysical personality brought this into being. That's evidence for God. There's very good evidence for God today. Is there a God? Yes, there's a God. Number two, life after death. What's going to happen when you die? Let's face it, everybody's worried about that. Everybody's got any kind of sense is knowing the end is coming. And what's going to happen then? What's going to happen? Do we have the answer? Yes, we have the answer to that. We have the answer to what will happen after death. Yes, your body will die, and then there will be a resurrection. And that resurrection to life will be through the simple request that God has made that you believe on His Son. That's the requirement. And it's going to happen because Christ died for you. You receive that as a free gift. It's instrumentally performed for you, and you have life, and it comes up through a resurrection. No, you're not going to be a ghost floating around in the clouds waiting for something. What are you going to do there? Play harps and stuff like that, you know? No. Not going to happen. You'll die. Your body's put into some sort of tomb. It'll decay. It'll be washed into the sea. Thousands of years could go by. Could go by. And then the resurrection will come. And then your consciousness will return. And then you can have life everlasting. What will be the time in your zone? Your zone? The time in your zone is that. That. Ha! Ah. What happened there? That's it. And you'll have a resurrection experience to life everlasting. No more death. Finished. So it's going to be boring then. What are we going to do? Hey, there is a headship of God, a hierarchy of God. There is a dispensation of the fullness of times coming. There's more to come, my friends. You will not be bored. Let me promise you that. It will not be a boring situation. You will have plenty to do. There are certain persons who will be judging angels. I'm talking about humans now, various ages. They are going to be so busy in God's government, it's just going to be ridiculous. You'll be flying all over the place, through dimensions. You'll be discovering the different realms of God's creation. It's going to blow your mind. Literally going to blow your mind when you see all of what God has created and is creating and will create. All managed through His eternal power and Godhead. This is cool, man, I'm telling you. Okay. So, yeah, there's apostles and prophets. Yeah, they were going on. Acts 29. They were there. Apostles and prophets. They were active. And they were laying down this foundation. Jesus Christ Himself, the chief corner. So see what it says. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. They themselves, the foundation. Cool. So we better know that. How are we going to know that? How are we going to know what these people taught? Well, we need to go to the one who was dispensed this truth, which is Paul. Ephesians 2:21. In whom all the building fitly framed together. Oh man, all the building. Yeah, look at the word. Can you see it? Houses there, my friends. All the building fitly framed. It grows. That's interesting. I was saying to Seppi as we're driving along here, man, just think about the building that's going on in this country all the time. You just go along the freeway, building over here, building over there. Norman, building there, building there. Will it ever end? Don't think so. The country's got so much room, it's ridiculous. Have you seen all the land that spreads out? You can drive through some of these states. It's empty. There's no one there. You drive for hundreds of miles. Oh, I'm running out of gas, but hopefully something's going to come up soon. It's empty. There's plenty of place to build. Plenty of places. Well, look at this. In whom all the building, fitly framed, grows. Auxay, yes, grows. Unto, now look at the word. Look at the word here. That little word there, naon, that's the accusative case. Naos is the word. See, that is the temple, the holy place. The holy place. And it says, in the Lord. Okay? Holy temple in the Lord. It's being framed together. And it grows. If you just go down, there's something that happens here that I find fascinating. Ephesians 2:21 and Ephesians 4:16 are parallel. There's no way around it. And you'll notice it says grows. A building grows, does it? Well, in a sense it grows, but you have to import a metaphor into it, right? Oh, the building is growing. Yeah, but it's not growing like a living thing. It's being added to, it's being built. There's being creative hands that add this component and that component together. But come down here, look at Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. Oh, you can't help but see the parallel. I mean, the words are virtually the same. The only thing that's changed is instead of the building, you have tosoma, the body. A soma is a body. Instead of the building, the oikos, now you have the body. And the body now is being fitly framed together. And so it says, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying. Now comes the word. See there, oikos is in here. The edifying of itself in love. You cannot get away from the fact that God is building, even with his metaphor of a body, it's being built together so that every single part works together to make this thing function beautifully. This means that we must respect every member of the body. We must. And we must allow the members of the body to work together. It's a beautiful thing. So there's certainly a building, yes, and it's a holy building. It's part of the holiest of all. What a great metaphor. So the building that we're talking about is not simply some outer part of the sanctuary. You know, we've got the holiest of all here, and then we've got a little room before it where you had the showbread and so on. But no. The part that Paul wants to emphasize here, that the building he's talking about, is the holiest of all. That's us. God is doing something huge with us. What he's doing is he's showing us clearly the doctrine of the headship. The body that he's talking about has Christ, the head. We are the body. The building that we are a part of is this holiest of all. He's allowing us to be a part of this great building that he's performing. So here it is, as I've mentioned here in 2:21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. I'm bringing out another phase of this thing. Notice grows, okay, into a holy temple. Now down here I've just got just the fact that other writers bring this out. Naos, see, it talks about it here, the inner temple, the inner shrine. Cool. Okay, so, and it talks about this in verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Wow. Builded together for a habitation of God. Ephesians 3:2, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, if ye have heard. Oh, therefore this was released previous, right? He's saying, have you heard about this? The dispensation of the grace of God? Now, if you try to put Ephesians into here, if that's what you're going to try and do, you're going to try and put Ephesians into Acts 28, then what you've got to do in that 2 years, you've got to get the mystery revealed and people heard about it. But if you allow it to be somewhere over here, then you've got some time that's gone by, right? Some time has gone. And through here, so the mystery is revealed and some time goes by, and then he will write about it. Okay? So the mystery is revealed, time goes by, and then he writes about it. And he says, if ye have heard. Don't you think that makes a lot more sense to allow some time to go by? If ye have heard. Mystery is revealed, time goes by, if you have heard. Okay, cool. Of the dispensation. Oh, the oikonomia! The oikos is there, my friends. The household rule. Yes, we are dispensationalists because the Bible gives it to us. We are dispensational because we want to know the headship of God. We want to know about what he's doing. And then he says in 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Yeah, in chapter 4, this is where there were given special apostles and prophets. Some apostles and prophets. Some evangelists. Some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting, for the mending of the nets of these saints. Who now have been given fresh doctrine. They formerly had one doctrine as a part of the hope of Israel. Now they've been given a new doctrine and they need to be perfected. Yes, that's what this is all about. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The use of edifying towards this edification of need, you see. There was a needful edification. Now, I want to emphasize this word, kreos, here. That's a needed thing. It was needed towards this edification of need. Needful. You see, what we need is an edification which respects the headship of God and finally of Christ, as Christ is the head of the church. That is what we need. It's needed. Our ministry is needed. The ministry that brings forward these truths, that's seriously needed. Well, that's all I've got for today. That's cool, man. The stuff that I've learned about Ephesians in terms of oikos is massive, and there's more there. There's more to be learned. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this ministry, Lord, for the truth of the house, the household rule. The heading up of all things in Christ, the fact that every household should have a head, needs a hierarchy, and that God is building things today, and that chief of what he's building is this temple which is the habitation of God. We thank thee in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.